Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Aren't you ever on this last day of November?
I need another week, man.
You do?
I'm not ready for December.
You want to back it up?
Yeah, please. Can we go back? Okay. Can I do one more Thanksgiving?
What?
You might want to redo on Thanksgiving, wouldn't you?
I do.
You didn't get your meal, man.
Oh,
unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. But you're doing better now. You're looking great.
The lighting helps. You
know? Good fluorescent lighting always makes us look good.
No, thank you. I am. I have a doctor that gave me some amazing medication.
Right.
But, so you know what I'm talking about. I had beautiful plans for Thanksgiving, you know, house hopping to friends and ending up at Rory's restaurant in Woodland Hills, which is always a great place to be. And the night before, I didn't feel real good when I went to bed, but I went to bed and I woke up and I thought I had the flu. You know, so it was one of those things. I had to go to the urgent care. You too?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Four times?
Mark. Oh.
5 days.
5 days.
Wow.
Well, I did not have the flu. When I found out at urgent care that I had a severe sinus infection.
Ugh. That's tough. Awful, but better than the flu. I'll take that.
Totally.
Any day the flu.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And boy, these pills, and I don't even know, it's some form of penicillin, but I felt 24 hours later, felt 50% better. And,
I'm so glad.
And I'm feeling pretty good now. But
You look great.
Oh, thank you.
Redo on Thanksgiving, but you look great now, so we'll aim for a good end of the year. How's that sound?
We'll get wasted at the end of the year.
You can always have turkey at Christmas.
That's right.
Meal,
I'm not a big fan of turkey, you know?
There you go. You didn't miss
anything. At any rate, I digress. We digress.
Well, here it is, and it is November 30th, and we are gearing up for the holiday season here in Los Angeles. And to go with that, we have a great show for everyone today, don't we, Michael?
We do indeed, Andrew. We have a trio of extraordinary performers here with us today to talk about some really exciting theater, such as Barefoot in the Park.
That's right.
When it strolls into the Lyric Hyperion this evening, please join me in welcoming Adrian Visnick, Sandy Bainham, and Mark Arthur Miller.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, they were either applauding themselves or one another as well, which is pretty impressive. Just to pull people behind the curtain here, I always go out and I talk to our guests just to make sure we don't have somebody who, for instance, doesn't like to talk on the radio, which always hurts the show. And I knew within 5 seconds that this was not going to be a problem with these three today, man. We got a crew with us today, don't we, Michael?
Yeah, totally.
Good. Going to be a fun show. Obviously, a lot of excitement about a show that's not done enough. It's a really well-written show and a period piece like we talked about a little bit before, yeah?
Yeah.
This couldn't be written today, could it?
Well, you know, it was one of Neil Simon's the longest running Neil Simon show on Broadway.
Yes.
1,536 performances.
Is that many?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And it was not his first show on Broadway. Come Blow Your Horn was, and this was the second show, I believe, on Broadway.
Yes. And Neil Simon occupies such a unique place in theater history.
He truly
brought people in who'd never seen plays before, had people rolling in the aisles, and a different kind of comedy than what you might be used to from him as
there
well.
There was a time during that time that he had four shows on Broadway running at the same time.
Oh, such problems. My goodness.
So much that they named a theater after
him. Right.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Exactly. Well, we will talk more with our guest in just a moment. But before we do that, Michael, we should pay some bills, yeah?
We should do that. We would like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listings for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed.
No doubt.
I encourage you to visit those sites. Really, they're amazing. Breakdown Services and all of its offerings, such as Actors Access, and it's a great site to navigate. And a lot of people get a lot of work from it. So
that's right.
And Performing Arts Live, of course, knows all of the happenings in the Southland.
Two great resources. And Michael, obviously, lots of great things going on now. We talked a little bit about Thanksgiving, but you got to tell me a little bit about your theatrical week. Did you have anything going on?
Theatrical week. This past week was still Levi. I'm working on Levi.
Yeah, we did
the musical.
Yeah, with Bruce Kimmel.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
Mark Ginsberg. There we
Mark
go. His fans are everywhere. Mark Ginsberg's fans are all across the nation.
Right where you are.
That's right.
2 weeks ago, promoting the opening. He's fantastic, Mark,
sure
in this show. This was a part made for him.
Yeah.
Little did he know.
Yeah.
He was funny.
He fit the jeans perfectly, yeah.
Well, I don't want to give anything away about how the genes entered this picture in this musical. It is pretty great stuff. And I must say, with as much theater as we all see, we get to be a little jaded sometimes. But boy, oh boy, this is being done at the Los Angeles City College in their largest theater there, the Camino Theater, which seats about 300 people. And it's a lovely space. And you've got Kay Cole from Broadway doing the choreography and staging.
She's
and you have
great,
Bruce
yeah.
Kimmel directing it and producing it. Mm-hmm. And you've got Mark starring in it. And
Lanny
Richard
Myers.
Allen, the great... Pardon?
Lanny Myers.
Lanny Myers doing the orchestrations. And Richard Allen serving as musical director. And Richard's amazing, too. And the cohesion of all of it in this very, very, very interesting set that
the
works in many, many different ways. Very clever. And the band is in this set, but they're not present to the audience very much. I mean, it's interesting, the whole thing. I won't give it away. You should go and see it. This is the final weekend of
That's right.
And it has performances coming up through Sunday. And you just check it out at Vendini Tickets, and the tickets are remarkably affordable at $15.
Such a great deal. And you get to see, not only the great Mark Ginsberg, but really some great creative talent that put this show together.
The cool
including
thing,
the Sherman Brothers, right?
It's a Sherman Brothers show, and man, oh man, that score, when the second that downbeat takes place, it's a Sherman Brothers musical. It's memorable.
Yeah.
You can understand the lyrics, and they stick in your head, and you're humming the music on the way out, and that doesn't happen very often.
That's a true sign of a hit.
No kidding.
Exactly.
You'd mentioned the photos earlier. Those were taken by a good friend of mine, Carrie Ann Francis, who loved the show.
Ann
and she's
Francis,
so great.
Yes.
But it's funny because a great theatrical photographer is hard to find, and she is one of the best out there, Carrie Ann Francis.
So that's been my MO, really, and just kind of taking care of the press matters on the show and making sure everybody's happy. And all the reviews have been fantastic, so I think it's got some legs. I certainly hope it does, and that it will continue on its path to New York.
I have no doubt. And I tell you, this is one of those shows that you really can feel good about going to see. What an amazing life story that Levi Strauss had, a great American and obviously an immigrant story.
Great philanthropic man.
Very philanthropic, absolutely. Well, let's jump in here because we have a packed show to get to today. So let's go ahead and dive into our first guest here. Our first guest is a true triple threat, an actress, a singer. Mark, that means you're out. Now that it's not you. A true triple threat, a singer, a dancer, and a BFA acting degree from USC. TV and film credits include 10 Days in the Valley, Switched at Birth, Six Degrees, Don't Knock the Hustle, and the lead role in Girl Band, which was selected for the 2016 Tribeca Film Festival.
She was a top finalist in LA's Next Great Stage Star. She appeared as Cruella De Vil in Disney Villains Counting Scars. It was a music video.
Mm-hmm.
And she was nominated as Best Female Cabaret Artist by Broadway World for her West Coast headlining debut solo cabaret, Sunny Side Up at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
That's right.
She appeared. I've heard of that place.
A great place. Yeah. We love it well. She appeared in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, one of my favorite festivals across the world. Yeah, great. So much great work there, too. Mm-hmm. It's really cool to see. She appeared there at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in production of Carnal Desire, a satire. Also, that was named after my high school career.
Oh, great.
Carnal Desire. I don't know, maybe not. A satire, and as Babette in The Real Housewives of Toluca late at the Falcon Theater, where we saw her with the great Mark Ginsburg, and as
true.
Sage in the musical comedy Inside Out in Los Angeles.
And that's where I met Sandy.
Yeah. Oh, right. Very nice.
Yeah. And Mark's wife.
Yeah. Aha.
Yes, indeed. She joins us today to talk about her producing debut and starring role in Neil Simon's Barefoot in the Park at the Lyric Hyperion Theater in Silver Lake. Please welcome Adrian Visnick.
I love this room, man. What a great room we have today.
We've never had any performers do that before.
It's great. We should just we should capture them. We can reuse it. That's awesome.
I think that's a true sign of what we have going on at the Lyric Hyperion, too, is everyone's so supportive and has been such a team player.
Yeah.
And that's really the only way to do a show is to have everybody on board.
No doubt about it.
I've been very lucky with that.
Especially Neil Simon. That's so important for a Neil Simon project. You have to be so in tune with each other to make that comedy really feel the way it needs to feel.
And you've got a lovely cast of people. You want to give them a little shout-out?
It's an incredible cast. It's A.J. Helfed, who I went to USC with. Steve Fisher is playing the telephone man.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Sandy and Mark over here. And everyone said yes. All my first choices said yes. And my big goal was just talk to everybody and ask them if they wanted to do it, thinking that maybe they'd say no. And everyone said yes and got right on board and was happy to do it, and I've been grateful ever since.
Fantastic.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Good. Such a great thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fun show. You know, that it harkens back to a time when Neil Simon's work is, for me, always charmingly funny and real, because it's always based on something that he has experienced in his lifetime or some part of his family.
Well, he talks about all these big life discussions, but in a very charming, lighthearted way, especially with how heavy the world is right now.
Yeah. Oh.
I think it's really important to have something that's so lighthearted and caring and exciting. I don't know, there's something that's really special about being in the room and just having something that's lovely, as opposed to anything that's dark.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, there's some really heartfelt moments, but everything comes from a really warm, loving place.
And, you know, the theater that you've chosen to do this work at is very unique in a lovely space there in Silver Lake, which is one of the trendy suburbs of Hollywood.
But it's really fun. I mean, it's a really
It's a cafe by day and a theater by night,
right?
Yeah,
it's a cafe by day and theater by night, and they have a lot of really great shows. They don't usually do plays there. Mm-hmm. So when we first pitched it to them, they were wondering how we were going to get it across.
Excuse me, Sandy is on.
We got to go to video right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to raise prices on the show. You leave the house in the morning, it feels like it's November, and you get in here and it's June. So we're stripping down here on State of the Arts.
Well, better than No Pants Day.
I don't know if that's better or worse. It depends on who's watching, I guess. So.
I'll take my job.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go. Good Lord.
So such a great cast here, obviously,
really
you
is.
Three. And Stephen Fisher is a known Shakespeare actor as well. Somebody who I've worked with and love very much.
Really?
Yeah, a lot. I forget, maybe King Lear or something years ago,
great.
I think, with Shakespeare by the Sea, another great organization.
Yeah.
But what a good fit this show is for the Lyric. It's such a nice space, and Neil Simon's works need to be seen at that kind of atmosphere with that kind of intimacy.
Especially because it's intimate. You feel like you're in the apartment with us, which makes it very different from how it was originally told.
It's much easier than going around and looking in windows, isn't it? They frown on that in the theater community these days, I suppose.
What?
Neil Simon has that ability to take you into the home and go, I almost feel uncomfortable that I'm watching this.
Especially the way that we're doing it, because the story is definitely for a proscenium format. It's definitely for you to look at from afar. But the way we're doing it is you're very much immersed into this world.
Very much.
Which is new and different, and everyone's going to come out with an experience, which is beautiful.
Which might be me sitting on their lap.
Yeah.
I'm there.
But those tickets cost a little bit more, ladies and gentlemen.
Awesome. Yeah. We don't intend it to happen, but you never know.
Well, and I think the Lyric has one of those settings to where you can't help but feel connected to the cast, which is such a nice tool for actors to have, to where you can really access the material on a more intimate and personal level. That's a cool thing.
Adrian, for those people who do not know about Barefoot in the Park or have never seen it, tell everyone, you know, what the plot is without giving too much away.
They're two young people. It's me and AJ Helfit. And
notice she talks about them first, not the other couple, right? So let me tell you about what this show's about.
All about me.
No, but it's two couples who go into it thinking it's going to be one way when they get married, and it turns out completely different.
Yeah, because he's kind of an uptight young attorney.
As a fuddy-duddy. He's uptight, always buttoned up, ready to go, and she is very impulsive and views life very with major silver linings and really wants everything to be beautiful in this fantasy type of way. Mm-hmm. And they're very opposite people, but they've come together and they really love each other. But it's not going to be the way that Corey initially pictured it to be.
Mm-hmm. And so how does the character of your mother come?
She surprises us on a visit.
Okay.
And she comes in to check out the apartment that I've chosen by myself. And it's the first thing I've ever done on my own. As an only child, I fully understand that. when you do something on your own for the first time and your parents come to see it, and they're like, oh, you chose this. Okay. but they still love you no matter what. But it's just now it's like, it's how do you become your own person in this world? How do you become your own individual amongst your family and amongst your husband and amongst other people? Is how do you become your own individual self?
And especially when you're trying to not only become your individual self, but start a relationship where you have to be on a team with somebody else. That's very true.
It's our first time away from home, and
And you've just come from, as I recall the storyline, you've just come from like the Plaza Hotel in 5 days of your honeymoon there.
It's been
there,
a great 6 days, yes.
Yeah. And then you walk into this new home.
You did research, by the way?
No.
And you have an interesting neighbor.
Yes, and we have Mr. Velasco, who's played by Mark beautifully, and... It's one of those things. It's another one of these things about Neil Simon and the fact that it's a period piece. Everyone had morals.
What are morals?
This must be a play.
Nowadays, if a stranger walked into your apartment, you'd be like, okay, immediately I'm calling 911. I can't. Right. There's no way that this is going to happen. But for some odd reason, you're like, oh, I can trust you because you told me that I can trust you.
That's a good point.
And you're a free spirit.
That's it, right. Yeah, exactly. And I trust everybody.
Yeah, and that's an Adrian personality, too. I like to just trust people for what they've gave me. So.
Well, that is obviously where a lot of the comedy comes from, is that it's a little bit of an absurd situation, but one that could very easily happen, particularly in that time. Yeah. Now, the writing is obviously very identifiable as Neil Simon. The comedy about that, the lyric and kind of this cast and everything has to come together to make Neil Simon work. What do you think the best part of this production was that really was that time where you said, this is the magic, this is something that's going to be really something special?
I think when everyone decided, like, when everyone said yes to this project, that's when I knew it was going to be something really special.
You've got your first choices.
Yeah, because you've got your first choices, and it's all people who not only are really great actors individually and really great in their own creative fields, but who are team players and who want to make something really special and make something that's a very intimate theater and make something very intimate into this very magical experience.
That's
and
great.
Be able to do it with people who really want to make it come alive. Yeah.
Well, we want to tell people very quickly here the easiest way to get tickets. You can always call 800-838-3006 and extension 1 for live customer service at brownpapertickets.com. But I like to log on and just go quickly to that event.
$12.50 online, and then they're $15 at the door.
Unbelievable, right?
For the great people that are in the show, it's a bargain.
You will never get to see this quality of show at that kind of price. It's such an unusual thing. And an interesting thing, obviously you run from Thursday, November 30th, which is today, all the way through December 3rd. So it's a short run, but at the same time, there's a lot of performances, right? You have five performances, right?
Total.
So some good opportunities to see this coming up. But tell me about Cafe by Day and Theater by Night. This is such a cool thing that they do at the Lyric.
Yeah, they, you know what? They're like this very cute little vegan cafe, and they have coffee and tea and beer and wine and all sorts of offerings. And they're very, it's a very
You had me at beer.
I know. You can come.
I'm done. Let's go.
But it's there's something very charming about the fact, I think the space really fits the show, because you walk in and you feel like you're already in Corey's world that she has decided that this is the perfect place. And it's very intimate. It already feels like a home. They have little rugs and tables and chairs and everything all set up. And then afterwards, you can come outside and stay afterwards and have a beer and a glass of wine underneath. They have little lights outside.
And it's good food, too. I was surprised by the food.
Yeah. It's very cute.
It always smells delicious.
Do you?
Yeah. We've been eating there. I mean, they always have, like, fresh grilled veggies and hummus. And because it's vegan.
No meat?
I know.
They've been very sweet.
That's great.
They've really let us create our home.
And they
I don't know if every theater does that. It really is like.
I don't think they do.
No. Yeah, I would say pretty surely they don't.
And it's so funky. Right. It is so corey that it's just like
this very
weird, funky space. But it works. You know, it works. And we've tweaked it along, and it's been really, they've been delightful to work with. They've been lovely, really.
That's great.
And they have shows going on there regularly. Every day we're like tidying up for the next performer, whether it's like a comedian or something like that. Can't we leave this hanging? And they're like, no. We have a comedy variety show. I said, but this will add to it. And they're like, no.
Take it down.
No, they always have podcasts and speakers and different things like that. So it's a multi-stage.
It's really a sweet space.
Obviously, we have three of you here today, but we want to make sure that each of you get your proper intro here.
Absolutely.
And honestly, the number of credits that were spread across you three, my goodness, my printer almost ran out of ink trying to print the script for today. But our next guest, you've heard her voice. Sorry, Mark. Got her professional start in the chorus of David Merrick's legendary production of 42nd Street on Broadway and the national tour, graduating quickly to the role of Annie.
Since her theatrical debut, Sandy has split her time between Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. In Washington, she regularly appears in the city's top theatrical venues, most recently as the title character in MAME, which I watched on YouTube. I actually saw this amazing performance. My God, you were just amazing. Truly.
Thank you, Mike.
Not because you're my friend or you're beautiful or you're amazingly talented, but because you were. And it's such a great show because that doesn't get done very often.
No,
man.
That's true.
Yeah, right. You need to get that.
I can play her
next
for
production.
The next 10, 15 years.
That's a nice thing.
Now, conversely, she can play Tessitura as well.
I just demonstrated that right here as a stripper.
And Susan in Signature Theater's acclaimed production of Company.
In Los Angeles, she has been seen in the musical productions, film, and television, including the role of Cindy McCain in the award-winning HBO film Game Change, starring Ed Harris, Julianne Moore, and an appearance on the CBS hit show Criminal Minds.
She has appeared in the web series, including Flax, Damage Control, and There's a Place in Hell for Fashion Bloggers.
That's coming out. In the new year.
The title alone is fantastic.
She has appeared in short films, including The Truth, Nondisclosure, and Iota. She has also had a role in the upcoming Stronger Than Pretty, a film project created to help stop domestic violence, very important, and to empower women.
In addition to her substantial acting career, she is also an accomplished singer who has recorded 4 solo albums, Believe, This Christmas, Simply, which was nominated for an NYC Mac Award and for Best New Album, and It Might Be Fun. She has also performed her solo cabaret shows, including her latest, Ever Blonde Word, one we've talked about here on this show in love. In major venues, not only Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, but Washington, New York, and in Los Angeles.
Yes, indeed. She joins us here today, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about her role as Mrs. Banks in the Lyric Hyperion production of Barefoot in the Park. Let's give it up for Sandy Bainham. Yeah, baby.
Thank you.
Sandy, what a joy to have you back here again. Now, you are based in Washington, D.C. most of the time, correct?
Well, it's about 50-50.
50-50,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's always such a treat to have you here because you do such amazing work, and Forever Blonde Word was such a fun show to talk about, so many great things. Tell me how you got involved with this production, and what was your main desire in doing Barefoot in the Park?
Well, Adrian and I had the great distinct pleasure of working together on the musical Inside Out, which you had mentioned.
Of course.
And with Donna Meller as well, who is Mark's significant other. And that was a really interesting production because it was 6 women, and
we all, none of us knew each other, and we ended up creating these beautiful friendships that have lingered and lasted. And of course, Adrian, we were all middle-aged women, mostly, you know, like late 30s and up. I'm 39 and holding. But Adrian was just out of college when she did that, fresh out of college. Yep. And so I decided at that moment that it was love at first sight with Adrienne Visnick for me. She's just, and I have two sons, and so I decided that in very Mrs. Banks style that she would make the perfect daughter-in-law for me.
Accepted.
Yes, I said. So for the entire run of that musical, I was like, now listen, I have two really cute sons.
And trying to marry them off.
Not yet, just trying to make them in. Because I decided she'd make a perfect daughter-in-law. Right? Anyway, so we've stayed in touch, and so, you know, she was talking about how this came together, and I think of this as a little kismet, because when you think about how magic happens, it was just serendipity, really. I get this email from her. It was 3 days before I was coming out here in October. And she's like, hey, I'm doing this little production of Barefoot in the Park, and I would love for you to play my mother. Would you be willing to? And, you know, it was this cute little email, and I'm kind of like going, huh, these dates just happen to be when I'm going to be in LA.
Like it's meant to be,
And so those kinds of things just make it go, oh, my God, this is meant to be. This is one of those things that's meant to be.
It's so sad that you missed your opportunity to say, I'll do it as long as we write in the contract that you marry one of my sons.
Don't worry.
Come on. This is why actors should never manage themselves.
I have resumed my role as her mother-in-law and mother.
Has a meeting ever taken place? Has she met your boys?
My one son is too young for her, but my other son, like 12? He was just here. Yeah, they're children.
Careful. Michael was on the Match Game. He'll try to pair people up
no matter what.
I'm sorry. No, you're right. The dating game, of course.
He's trying to date
him. Nothing happened.
But anyway, this was one of those things that just worked out. And, of course, I'm just having the best time because, one, I love her anyway. Yeah. So we honestly have this really beautiful love relationship that's honest and real between us. And I do, try to put my, my views onto her with my children, but she hasn't quite nibbled. But I know that she's going to always be a special friend to me. And Mark, I've known because of Donna, and it's been really fun to work with Mark because he's a hoot and a hilarious person. Mm-hmm. And then these other young people, I think of them as like my son's friends because, they're like these really cool young people that are all incredibly, this talent in this stage is...
No doubt.
It is a freak show of talent. It just really is. And I'm just honored to be part of it.
Now, one of the things we despise about you here on State of the Arts is that you're not only talented and beautiful, but you're also very, very smart, which we've always said nobody should have all three of those qualities. Can you tell me a little bit about your type of outlook on Neil Simon's work and where he comes from and its place in society today?
It's very interesting. I had a friend who was just out here who's in the theater world, and he said, well, tell me about Barefoot in the Park. How does it hold up?
Right.
and this is something that we've all discussed as this piece. It's really a piece about relationships. It's a piece about love and accepting each other and kind of stepping outside of yourself to kind of see yourself in a different light. And because this production is in such a small little space without a fancy set, it falls to us to tell that story in many ways. I laugh every day at this play in one way or another. The lines are so, Neil Simon writes in such a colloquial way that it's such an easy syntax to speak and learn. It's a very easy show to memorize in that sense because it's the way we speak.
We hope.
I'll be off book by tonight. but what's funny about it is I think it holds up beautifully.
Yeah.
Now, I was saying to these people the other day, and you guys earlier, that there's a couple of lines in there, particularly at the end, where both Adrian and I have a little monologue that I'm sure there will be a couple of people in the audience that will go,
raise an eyebrow or two, yeah.
Or, and I don't want to look at them because I'm still going to laugh at myself.
Right.
Because it's funny. It's written very, very, very humorously.
Yeah.
And it's charming. And I think the thing is, it's a question that I have, and I'm curious about what happens to period pieces and the art that we make with period pieces, because this takes place in 1963.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to approach an older play with a modern concept of what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be willing as actors to transport ourselves back in time to what was that time. And I wasn't a middle-aged woman back then. And so it's hard for me to... But I know people, my parents and everything, and my aunts from the 60s, you know. So you have to kind of go, okay, it was different. So these humorous lines were written in the context of 1963. And so you can't... Do you take them out?
Yeah.
Do you change them? And we did tweak one word so it didn't feel too much like an ethnic slur. But there's a couple in there that people were going to go, whoa.
Well,
and then for women's issues, too, I think.
Absolutely.
Because in 1963... You know, I mean, my mother was a housewife. That was her job. And it's very interesting because me, as a modern-day woman, when I chose to stay home with my children as a mom, I remember feeling this incredible strain of, like, when I went to the doctor's office and that the line says occupation. And when I was a student, I could put student. And when I was acting, I could put actor. But suddenly I was a mom. And I was like, wow. Who am I?
Right.
You know, and am I going to be viewed in somebody's mind as being something less than a professional?
Yeah, but any husband knows it's something more because he does not want to stay home and take care of those children, man. I'm telling you.
So,
you had the hardest job.
That's absolutely
so
true.
Women's jobs, a lot of them back then, was to, you know, keep the house, keep everything tidy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's some of that in this when she talks about how she's going to, when she's trying to coax him off the ledge, that she's going to fix everything that's broken in the apartment, and I'm telling her that she just has to make him feel important, and those kinds of things don't translate well to modern day women.
But I think that's part of the brilliance of Neil Simon is to say, hey, look, let's talk about this out loud and see how people feel about it, because for so long it was assumed and you didn't have a choice, and it's fine to choose that if you wish, and it's fine for somebody to feel that way, but it's not fine if it's something they're forced into. And Neil Simon said, look at how absurd some of this is, and shed a light on it. So if we sit there and say he's trying to promote this, I think that's wrong to do. I think it's a period piece that shed light on the way reality was.
Exactly.
What a cool thing to look at now with our modern sensibilities, and what a terrifying thing to think somebody's going to look at something I wrote last week and go, what a small-minded playwright he was. Oh, those silly people in the 2017 era. You know, everybody, hopefully with history, we get better. And if we don't, then there's a problem. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a great piece to look at that way, and it's still funny as can be. I mean, if you can't laugh at these people, this is a really funny situation, a great show.
Oh, that's nice. Well, you know, we have another great show that's coming into town.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, at the Valley Performing Arts Center. Have you all been?
No.
Oh, such a
spectacular! It looks like the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, scaled down. But it is on the campus of Cal State Northridge. And it is of any theater in this town, and I have been in every one of them. Has the most amazing sound. You can hear a pin drop.
Wow.
And it's, 1,700 seats.
Wow.
And Michael Feinstein, who is a friend of mine, actually, and such a sweet man.
And
such
a great
hugely
performer.
Talented
yeah.
man, is bringing his holiday show there this Friday, December 8th, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And if you're not familiar with Michael Feinstein, you should be. He has built a dazzling career over the last three decades in bringing the music of the great American songbook to the world, and recordings have earned him Grammy nominations, an Emmy nomination for PBS TV specials that he's done, his acclaimed NPR series and concerts spanning the globe, appearances at the White House, Buckingham Palace, Gee, Can't Work in a Better Place, Hollywood Bowl, Carnegie Hall, Sydney Opera House, and his work as an educator and archivist. And all of this really defines who he is, and that he is one of the most important musical forces of our time.
There's no doubt about it. The performance is December 8th at 8 p.m. That's a Friday night. I mean, to start your weekend off with this kind of show is the right way to do it here in Los Angeles. So Valley Performing Arts Center, it's right there in Northridge. It's an easy place to get to. Tickets starting as low as $38. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to get tickets is to call 818-677-3000.
Or online at valleyperformingartscenter.org.
That's right.
And again, Michael Feinstein has not played this theater before and is... touring the country. I mean, and he lives in Los Angeles, has a home here, a home in New York, and probably other places in the world. But if you've never seen him, treat yourself, because he's the best at what he does.
He really is. Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Our next guest is a proud Chicago stage actor who has happily called L.A. home for over 25 years. Among his favorite roles are Jimmy in Look Back in Anger, one of my favorite shows, with the Billowick Rep in Chicago, Ed in Torch Song Trilogy with Reflections Theater in Chicago, and Cliff in The Wool Gatherer with Center Stage.
And I'm just, I agree with everything you just said.
Of course, he also played Fleck in Balm and Gilead with the Rode Theater in Los Angeles, and Steven in Hellcab, which is also could describe every experience I've ever had in New York, with a famous door in Chicago.
And his TV credits include appearances on ER and Profiler, an accomplished singer and lyricist. He recently completed a CD, Soul Searching is the title, and has created a cabaret show of the same name. He is here today to talk with us, however, about his role as Victor Velasco.
Oh, that's right.
A next door neighbor in Barefoot in the Park. Let's hear it from Mark Arthur Miller.
Wow. So glad to be here.
I wanted to play that role.
Mark, we want to thank you so much for being so kind as to be willing to sit between these two beautiful women for an
tough.
Hour. My goodness, what a
somebody had to do it.
Really tough life,
especially
while
they were taking their clothes off.
So now you got to tell me about this. This cast is fun. Is it impossible to get any real work done with as much fun as you guys obviously have during this rehearsal process? Did you get distracted and have 12-hour rehearsals?
I wish we would have had more time to distract. And we were pretty much on a tight schedule.
Really?
And as fun as everyone is in this, you know, I'm working with all these young people in this show, including Sandy Bainham. They were so serious and
professional.
And professional. I was amazed by it, which was so great. We did get so much done, and we had fun at the same time. Mm-hmm. But wow. I think that was partly because I think everyone was perfect for their roles.
Yeah.
And I think we just came into this with a great attitude of, wow, this is really fun to do.
Yeah.
The first read, we were all laughing so hard at each other's lines that we wanted to tape the rehearsal so that we could just tape that into any audience that was coming to the show this weekend.
Wow, that's a good thing to hear. Now, you played one of my favorite roles, Jimmy, in Look Back in Anger. Jimmy, who says, do you remember the first time I saw you?
Yep.
You didn't really notice me, but I was watching you. I remember reading that as a 16-year-old kid and thinking, what a hateful, horrible, horrible person this is. And then I fell in love with the idea that life takes you and life tries to make you that. And if you stand up to it and you say, nope, I'm not going to do it, then you don't become Jimmy.
Yeah.
But if you let it get to you, that's what happens. And you do, you end up looking back in anger. What was it like to play that role? What was your experience like? And have you seen that show done again since? Because I've never seen it done since I did it.
I've seen it done many times. The odd memory of that, because it's something I'll never forget, is that I had read that play like all of us had read that play in our late teens when you were first going, this is what I want to do for
that Iceman Cometh, all those
those great roles that you wanted to do. And so I did it when I was 37 years
old. That's great.
So I was called from a director while I was living in LA and said, Mark, I've auditioned for this and no one can play it. And we had known each other for a long time. He goes, I know you're too old to play it, but you still look great. And, you know, physically, Michael knows I'm also a tennis professional, so I've stayed in shape. And I went back and did it probably 15 years older than I should have done.
What a perspective, though, to look at it.
So it is one of those roles where, like Romeo, you know, if you're the right age of Romeo to play it, you don't have the experience to
play it. That's right. That's absolutely. So, it wouldn't be interesting if you did.
It wouldn't interesting at 16 to actually do Romeo.
So
when I went back and did it, I had a lot more insight into it. But I did find that the show to be a bit dated when I did it, which was sort of a disappointment. So
that's
it
interesting.
It was a great role to play. The experience of it was spectacular, especially doing it at home in Chicago.
Yeah.
But it did feel dated.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. It's another of those period pieces. And you're right. There's certain parts in it where you kind of go, you know, I'm not sure that that's exactly what he wanted to say there, at least in our modern eyes. It is interesting, too, when you look at character development. This must have been interesting with Neil Simon. How you decide to play the character in terms of comedy, what the character finds comedy, is what the audience will define you as. Was that hard with Neil Simon's work to go, look, what kind of guy do I want to be to make this really be the truest kind of comedy? How did you come to that process?
Well, I think Velasco is just so fun. The writing is so easy,
yeah.
Like Sandy said, that it almost takes you where you're supposed to go.
Right.
The character things that then you add on top of him are the delicious parts. Do you give him a walk, an accent, a feel that's different than say some of the other people on
how do you live in his shoes kind of thing.
In his shoes.
I like that.
You know, also.
And do you? Did you? Yeah. Did you give him an accent?
We'll see when
teaser.
Frisky.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, that I am always afraid that the politically correct police are going to take me off the stage for some of the things that Victor Velasco says in this show.
You are not a role model.
I'm not a role model, but he's so charming and so loving that I think even the things he says, which I think in this time and place right now with the Weinsteins and everything that we're hearing about every day, some of that might be a little, but by the end I think you're so in love with everybody who's on this stage and who they are, really real people, and what their hearts are. I think that's what shines through.
Well, and this show, the comedy in this show, you can't take it too seriously too, because they're characters, right? I mean, they live in a world that we're glad we don't live in.
Yes.
I don't want to be any of these characters with that mother. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I could handle that. I would lose it.
But you know, but the beauty thing about Neil Simon is that once you realize, like, there are scenes in this that you read for the first time or the second time, and we've all read the script 30 times already by now, where when we first read them and sat down, we were, oh my God, this is such a farce. This would never happen. And then you realize that I just had that fight with my wife 2 weeks ago.
The absurdity of life.
That exact same fight. Yeah. You know, the nonsensicalness of it. And my mother says those exact same things to me. So it's actually not that different than real life.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's great.
You know what I want to touch upon, too, before, because we're coming into the latter part
of
the
show. No problem with material today, yeah.
The three people in this studio, our guests, are not only beautiful to look at, but they are also have these amazing talents, and they're wonderful actors, and they're also wonderful singers.
Yep.
And Mark being one of them, whose lineage is impressive,
lineage is
to
right,
say
yeah.
the least, yeah. from his dad. And he has performed at my place and brought in an amazing show that was tunes of a lifetime.
Michael, you tell people who his pops was?
Yes, Ron Miller.
Talented.
Who was the great composer at Motown, who brought so many hits into this world, right,
yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Such
yes.
as?
For Once in My Life, Touch Me in the Morning, Heaven Help Us All, Yesterday is a million. He probably had 30 gold records.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to follow in some footsteps.
And doing great. I mean, obviously making your own mark on the entertainment industry. Yeah. Mark on the entertainment. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Hold on. I got to get a rim gun. Thank you. One of the things about your father, too, was he worked at such a socially important time as well and did so many great things. The Motown music and that sound is still so important today. I think that's a lot of what
I think he was the first Caucasian writer that Barry
that
hired,
wasn't he?
First one or two, or second who wrote that. Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, what soul that man had.
Yeah.
And cool you thing. Do it so well yourself.
Do you sing his
songs
quite a bit?
Yeah, the new record is a compilation like the show of our relationship through the times, what he was, where I grew up.
What's the name of the record again?
Soul Searching.
People can find that on iTunes, Amazon.
Great, it's great. Everywhere. And it's Motown Classics revisited, rearranged, and then some songs of my dad's that were hits, some songs that were never recorded for until I recorded them. Some hidden treasures, and then songs I wrote.
Fantastic. You got a name of one of those hidden treasures that people may not have heard that they can check out?
A song called I Want to Come Back as a Song, which ends the show.
Great. Fantastic. Very cool. Very
and
cool.
And maybe he is.
Yes.
Aww. Maybe he's come back as the
Well,
song.
He did come back and save some of my lyrics that I wrote. I was having trouble finding lines, like last lines to lyrics. And I would walk down the street with my dog, and this is not a joke, I'm totally serious. I'd look up to the sky and say, hey, Pop, would you help me? And 5 seconds later, the finishing line of the lyric.
Wow. That's cool.
I believe in those things.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the show we're talking about today is Barefoot in the Park, and it's a fantastic piece put on at the Lyric Theater, and it runs just for a very short run, but with 5 full performances. That's November 30th today through December 3rd. Now, I'm sure the show's sold out tonight. Is that correct?
It is sold
out. Okay. But there's still tickets available for the rest of the weekend run. So Friday, Saturday, there's a matinee and an evening, and then Sunday, December 3rd, closing at 3 p.m., a closing matinee. So easiest way to get tickets is to call the theater. You can call 323-928-2299, or you can, of course, go online to find them.
I also wanted to just give a shout-out to another production in town here very quickly before we get into the last bit here on the show. Theater 68 is extending, which it's a Critics' Choice production of I Am Not a Comedian, I Am Lenny Bruce. Directed by Joe Mantegna, and the world premiere of this play will continue into the 7th month and stars Ronnie Marmo as Lenny Bruce. And it has been such a hit that the producers have extended the production at Theater 68 now through December 30th. Here is what they would like to know from our audiences. If you would like to see this show, they have added late night performances, and they will offer 5 sets of 5 pairs of tickets for a total of 10 tickets for either performance date on Friday, December 1st, Saturday, December 2nd, both shows at 10 p.m. And to claim this offer, you have to write to this email, sjkuker@gmail.com, and you must mention LA Talk Radio.
And we will post that again on our website here later today, on our Facebook page, I should say. So if you go to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, you'll see a little more on that. You can click on that email there and contact them. More importantly, though, check this show out. It is for mature audiences. There's some nudity involved. So I'll obviously be there.
Yes,
of course. the show will remain at Theater 68. And again, their website is www.theater, well, that's theater with an R-E, 68. .com. And you can also call 323-960-5068. If you're listening to this on the podcast, go ahead and check out the Facebook page for more info. That'll be up a little bit later today. Michael.
Yes, sir.
Michael.
Is it that time?
Uh-oh.
And now, embarrassing moments.
So, obviously, none of our guests have ever had an embarrassing moment, Michael. I think that's clear. Now, here's what I want to ask you. If either of you had something in your lives, and I know you're all perfect. I know
this is how long you have to tell your story. 1 minute each.
1 minute each. But if you had something that maybe might have happened one time that was a little bit embarrassing, what would it be? Anybody got one? Mark?
Mark can have my minute. Mark can have my minute, too. 3 minutes.
I don't want 3 minutes.
You got elected, my friend.
We all have embarrassing theater moments. I know that. No, I don't know if this is an embarrassing moment, but I am rather proud of it. Can we tell this on the air?
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
I've got my drop button on, so.
I did have sex backstage during the show.
What?
That's embarrassing for me.
We're not talking about Barefoot in the Park, now, are we?
Oh. Breaking news here on State of the Arts.
I always wanted to do it once. And this other person did too. So
my
we did
goodness,
it. We're
that's best when they want to do it as well.
We're talking 30 plus years.
Wow, Mark!
Doesn't matter how long ago.
Goodness.
It happened.
Wow, this is serious.
I told you it was one of those stories, but I can't say I'm proud of it.
And the show went on. You were okay.
Yeah, no, the show was
did
going
you make
on. The show was going on.
Wow.
And then did you have to get up and go on stage and
yes,
do your lines? Oh my goodness! Wow.
You're
a man of many talents.
Yes. Sandy, you got
it. It was an energetic performance.
I'm speechless, and I know that I need to stay in the hallway tonight.
Sandy goes, at one point I was backstage at a show and the door was locked.
Stay in your dressing room. I couldn't exactly happen, Mark, because I was not, I'm just, my disclaimer, it wasn't me.
We were starting to get letters, it's okay.
Adrian.
What you got for us?
Oh, no. I have to follow that?
Yeah, you do.
Well, mine's like way more naive than that. But,
naive?
She's like, I was once on the radio show with one of my co-stars who told me he had sex backstage.
And that's now our most embarrassing moment.
Maybe. That might be. Yesterday, I was supposed to be on the phone during this show, during Barefoot, and we'd placed different people in the audience in little areas, and my mom was placed right by the phone, and I picked it up. I'm supposed to call the operator, and I said, "Hi, Mom."
But that works because your mom worked as a telephone operator.
I really paused for a second and said, "Where am I? What am I doing?
Which hat do I need to wear?"
Luckily, it happened during dress, so now it's just not going to happen. But I was like, "Hi, Mom."
So, Michael, I think we've got some stories that we need to capture and replay for these people later on in their careers. Now, I think that Mark's sex story is going to come back when he runs for president. We'll be sure to put that up.
Exactly.
What an amazing show we had today. So much fun with you guys. And obviously, we want to remind people about the show that you're doing at the Lyric, Barefoot in the Park. And it's truly a fun project. There's 5 performances. The first one sold out. Don't miss your chance to go see this show. You'll truly enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Great performers, great talent.
As you said, and Michael Feinstein at Valley Performing Arts Center on December 8th coming up. Don't miss that. You've got Lenny Bruce over at Theater 68 with Ronnie Marmel. Making the critics crazy with their comments because
lots
they can't find
stuff.
Enough adjectives to praise this man for his work. So,
of course, My Christmas Carol opens this coming week.
Yes.
Coming back. Thank you.
Yes.
I love the applause. My goodness. I've got to keep these people. We got to make sure that, you know, we're going to see each other next week, hopefully. So we're going to be here. But we got to lead into this amazing holiday season because there's so much great work going on in the South Lane. Start with Barefoot in the Park. Go out and see some great theater. And, Michael, where will I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.